In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Next year, the Annunciation falls on Good Friday. The last time that happened was 1932. It'll happen again in 12 years, in 2016, and then not again in this century. Good Friday and the Annunciation belong together. Or at least that's what it did in the ancient world. March 25th was considered in the ancient world the first day of the year. For many thought that this was the day that the creation of the world began. As early as the 3rd century, many Christian communities thought that March 25th was the day that Jesus was crucified. This united the creation and the redemption together. The next logical step was really very simple. Very soon it was suggested that Christ died on the day he was conceived. And so Christmas falls on December 25th, 9 months after Jesus' conception and his crucifixion. Now, whether this was true or not probably didn't matter that much to early Christians. What was true for them was the theological implication. The incarnation and the atonement belong together. Christmas and the Pascha are two sides of the same coin. For Jesus was born to die. That's what the church here is all about, and that's what the Annunciation is all about. One pastor called me a few years ago, and he asked me if it was all right during the Annunciation to have on the paraments, Alleluia. Now, he had spent a great deal of effort to get rid of all of the Alleluias in Lent, and he wanted to know if it was all right, if this was acceptable. At least he didn't ask me if it was okay to sing Christmas carols. But maybe that's not such a bad idea. The Cantor thought it was a good idea this morning. Because didn't early Christians believe all these things about these dates precisely because they held the Annunciation of Christ's conception to Mary by the Holy Spirit in as high esteem as they did the birth of the child and the death of the child? You see, for early Christians, there were four important days in the world. The day God created the world, the day God came into the world, the day God redeemed the world through the atonement for the sins of the world, and the day God rescued the world out of death when he rose triumphant from the grave. 2 weeks from tomorrow is Good Friday. We recognize that in Jesus' death, the temple curtain was torn asunder, and that through Jesus' blood, all of us now have access to the Holy of Holies. The movement to that climactic moment in salvation history, the death of Jesus and the tearing of the temple curtain, that movement began when the angel Gabriel came to Mary and greeted her as the daughter of Zion, and then says to her, "The Lord is with you." Mary is now Israel reduced to one because of what she bears in her body, the very Son of God. The whole purpose of Israel has now come to fulfillment. But Mary is not only described by Luke as the new Israel, but Luke describes her as the new temple. For when Gabriel says to her that the Holy Spirit will come upon you and the power of the Most High will overshadow you, he uses the same word used of the pillar of cloud that overshadowed the tabernacle, signaling the presence and the glory of Yahweh. Mary is the new temple. Not because of who she is, but because of what she now bears in her womb. Jesus, the Holy One, the Son of God. That there is a shift in the locale of Christ's presence from the temple in Jerusalem to the body of Jesus is one of the great themes of Luke, one of the great themes of the New Testament. And it is one of the great themes of Lent. For our journey with Jesus to Jerusalem, to his death and his resurrection, that journey takes place every Sunday as we journey to his table where we enter the Holy of Holies. Here at the table, we celebrate Christmas and Good Friday and Easter. As that pillar of cloud overshadows us, as Jesus feeds us the holy food of his body broken, his blood poured out for the forgiveness of sins. Food that sustains us on our earthly pilgrimage to the heavenly Jerusalem. What a place for us to stand here now in the midst of Lent. To stand in Nazareth with the Virgin and the angel Gabriel, and to look out across the life of Jesus to Jerusalem and to the altar of the cross. With God, nothing is impossible, says the angel to Mary. And we agree, nothing is impossible if the one who entered the Virgin's womb by the power of the Holy Spirit is also the one who was crucified on Golgotha for you. Crucified so that he might make all things new. Next year, on Good Friday, remember to sing Christmas carols. The angels in heaven are. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.